bright as my day. Yeah, well, it is. But not right now. It's time to work. Welcome to the program tonight. My name is Mike Malloy. It's about 7 minutes past the hour. This hour, by the way, is being sponsored by Jill Toe. Thanks, Jill. No message, but sponsorship. Does she get cookies? Yeah, I guess she does, doesn't she? Yeah. Cookies. What a day. What a day for news, right? The Israelis are going to attack Iran. That's so weird, hearing a country, well, we didn't actually hear an official announcement from Israel. We are going to attack Iran. We heard our own Defense Department chief saying April or May? Here we go. Hold on to your ass. This could be the big one. Israel says, you're not allowed to have nuclear weapons, Iran. Iran says, yeah, but you have 200 of them. You're on our right flank. Pakistan, on our left flank, has another God knows how many. And you're telling us we can't have them and you can? See, that doesn't work. What we all ought to be doing is working for total nuclear disarmament. But, of course, Israel doesn't even acknowledge that they have 200-300. Had it not been for, what was the guy's name, Vanunu, who the Israeli scientist who revealed this huge nuclear arsenal that the Israelis possess? Not as big as the United States or Russia or China or India, probably. Well, maybe bigger than India's. Who knows? But there should be an effort to get rid of them, should there? Oh, wait a minute. That would indicate the human race had a sliver of sanity left. Ah, forgot where I am. Never mind. Forget it. I got this from Matt. There are so few positive, inspiring news stories out there these days, but this one is something to celebrate. Monsanto has been kicked out of the UK. They're leaving the UK market due to intense opposition to genetically modified fake food. And then Matt says, F yeah, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Hopefully their stock gets pummeled on this news. F them. Monsanto is, I believe, persona non grata in 27 countries in the world. Protest works. Organizing works. Action works. Cheers to all the Brits who worked hard to make tangible change in the world. Yeah, St. Louis is the current location of the global headquarters of Monsanto. Yeah, and I think it's very apparent at the end of this day that organizing, protest, and action does work. The freaks at Susan G. Komen have had to reverse and retract everything they said and everything they did about Planned Parenthood. And I understand a little crack in the door, the way the retraction and the apology was worded about the grants already applied will go through even to Planned Parenthood, but there's the wording, they were weasel words, there's no question, weasel words in this apology and rescission of what they had said. But the Komen Foundation wouldn't dare at this point, when next year's grants are put together, back off of what they have more or less promised, to stop playing politics with breast cancer. Now, in fairness, it wasn't the Komen Foundation from top to bottom. Chapters of Komen were in absolute rebellion, revolt over this. People resigned. There were three or four people involved in setting them up for this catastrophe. There were two especially guilty, and you will see Karen Handel quietly resign within the next 4 or 5 weeks. But you know who was behind her? Ari Fleischer. Think Progress has this up on their website right now. Ari Fleischer secretly helped guide the Komen strategy on Planned Parenthood. It says here, all right, Fleischer, former press secretary George W. Bush, prominent right winger, secretly helped guide Komen Foundation's disastrous strategy. Regarding Planned Parenthood, Fleischer personally interviewed candidates for the position of Senior Vice President for Communications and External Relations at Komen last December. According to a source with firsthand knowledge, Fleischer drilled prospective candidates during their interviews of how they would handle the controversy about Komen's relationship with Planned Parenthood. Fleischer's relationship with Komen and the Planned Parenthood controversy was previously undisclosed. Fleischer confirmed to Think Progress his recent role in filling a key communications post at Komen. He stressed, however, that another communication firm, Ogilvy Public Relations, was retained by Komen to deal with the explosive controversy over the last few days. According to the source, during at least one interview, Fleischer indicated that he had discussed the Planned Parenthood issue with Komen CEO Nancy Brinker, and that she was at her wits' end about how to proceed. Fleischer described himself as a longtime friend of Brinker's. Fleischer confirmed to Think Progress that he would receive a fee from Komen when the search was complete. Fleischer did not specify the amount of his fee, but said it would be, quote, substantially below the normal placement fee charged by executive search companies, end quote, because, quote, they're a charity I believe in. It was Fleischer who recommended Karen Handel. And those of us who live in Georgia are very familiar with Karen Handel. She makes people like, what was her name? The one who said, I'm not a witch. And Christine O'Donnell look like a puppy. She makes, what's your name? Jan Brewer look like a puppy. She makes Michelle Bachmann look sane. And that's going some. But Ari Fleischer, here he is again. This is the kind of damage that these people do forever. You take a look at the crew that worked for Ronald Reagan that caused the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people in Central America, the ones that traded weapons for money with the Iranians back during a time when Iran was holding hostages, American citizens, people like Poindexter, people like Oliver North, people like, who's the other guy, the real son of a bitch. All these people, I mean, they keep popping up. No matter, this is why they belong in prison. This is why these right-wingers should be put on trial. And as far as I'm concerned, found guilty and jailed. For Christ's sake, get them out of the way. So Ari Fleischer, who was the guy, the one of Satan? What was
Michael Chertoff.
Yeah, Chertoff.
Of the devil.
Of the devil. Who was the other one? I'm drawing a blank. These names from the 80s. Yeah, during the Reagan years. Anyway, all those people that were involved in so much murder and destruction and death show up again in various positions, policy positions, like Ari Fleischer. Well, Negroponte was, well, Elliot Abrams, that's it. Thanks, Irish Dave. Elliot Abrams. Who single-handedly was responsible for just a gusher of blood in Central America. It's disgusting. You know, you have to be trained very young to be a bigot. I have a story for you here. Also, Ellen DeGeneres and J.C. Penney under attack now from these right-wing psychopaths. I've got a couple of these the right-wing crazy people in this country, most of them Christian fundamentalists, some of them Jewish fundamentalists, they need to be horsewhipped. They really do. Or pantsed. Or they need to be glitter bombed. Or they need to have rice pudding, dropped into their drawers. Anything to humiliate these bastards. I mean, they just won't stop. I'm going to show you in a moment here when we come back how, when you are trained very young to be a little bigoted bastard, like a certain 15-year-old, and yeah, bigoted bastard, certain 15-year-old, what happens when you are trained to be a bigot, and how you can put that training into effect at a very young age?
Yeah. He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
Matt, who sent me the information about Monsanto, Matt, I have bad news. There is there's a problem here. Sheila Samples at Op-Ed just sent it to me. There, this was from naturalnews.com, who issued this this information earlier today. Natural News has notified the readers we have a depressing correction to make this morning. Our victory against GMO story about the UK turns out to be old news rather than good news. We ran a search for Monsanto on the Daily Mail website, and it turned up our source dated February 3rd, 2012, but it turns out that was a glitch on the Daily Mail website. The article was actually published in 2003, February 3rd, 2003. Monsanto contacted us this morning and insisted they had not retreated from the UK at all. And in fact, they had made great strides in the UK and across Europe. We have also since confirmed with the Daily Mail that the story is from 2003, not 2012. So, my friends, Natural News writes, I regret to inform you that things are far worse than we had hoped. GMOs have not been defeated in Europe, and our optimism was mistaken. This is a lesson in misplaced optimism, it seems. So, sorry about that. Both Matt and I, and Natural News, wound up with the wrong conclusion. Would that it were true. Earlier this month, a high school sophomore in Wisconsin, at Shawano Community High School in Wisconsin, kid 15 years old, he published an editorial article in his high school paper arguing that gay couples should not be allowed to adopt. Now, this is a 15-year-old kid, okay? The school subsequently removed the article from remaining copies of the publication, allegedly claiming the school that it was a violation of the school's bullying policy. And now the school faces legal action after an attorney for the Liberty Council, which is nothing about liberty, it's all about right-wing religious Christian fundamentalist terror, is taking on the incident. They're going to sue the school, I guess. According to a report, this attorney said that the high school superintendent pulled the 15-year-old out of class, called the student ignorant, and made him feel, quote, ashamed, end quote, of the piece. The kid allegedly wrote in his piece, quote, in a Christian society, allowing homosexual couples to adopt is an abomination, end quote. That's a 15-year-old now, right? Okay. So the superintendent sent WSAW Television a statement noting that the incident has led to threats to school staff. The superintendent also denies accusations from the kid that he called the kid defamatory names. A blog post by Fox Nation reports that Matthew Staver, the founder of this the cesspool called the Liberty Council, sent the superintendent a letter demanding an apology for the school's, quote, unconstitutional and irrational censorship and humiliation, end quote. They love to use that word, unconstitutional, right? The Huffington Post failed to identify earlier last week, I think, when they published this, that not only did this 15-year-old state, quote, allowing homosexual couples to adopt as an abomination, but also he quoted several Bible passages, including Leviticus, which calls for the death of a, quote, man who lies with a man as those who lie with a woman, end quote. And from this 15-year-old's opinion piece, he also had this. This kid did. If one is a practicing Christian, Jesus states in the Bible that homosexuality is a detestable act and sin, which makes adopting wrong for homosexuals because you'll be raising a child in a sin-filled environment. Now, obviously, this kid has been totally brainwashed. Jesus never said anything. Anything. That's recorded in this collection of mythologies and superstitions and parables and malarkey called the Holy Bible. Jesus H. Christ never said anything about homosexuality. So here's this little 15-year-old kid saying that Jesus states in the Bible, so where do you suppose he got the information? From mommy and daddy and the Christian environment that he is immersed in. Here's a kid 15 years old who takes it upon himself to declare. You know, I mean, a 15-year-old kid, this young man could not find his ass with both hands if he had a guide. Yeah, well, I'll leave that alone. He could not. But he is going to condemn. He is going to state categorically his twisted attitude put in his head by his Christian parents and his Christian church about his betters. That would be people who are much better than this little punk. People who would like to adopt, to give a child without parents a home. I wonder if this 15-year-old, if his parents happened to die of a lightning strike or something, I wonder if he would have liked to have been adopted or placed someplace where he had no family. Where do these kids, you know where these kids come from. Now you know.
It's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Jill Toe. Thanks, Jill. Very much. So a 15-year-old kid. I don't know. I wonder what goes through a kid's head when he writes about bigotry, about holding people in contempt for who they are, and then bases his attack on some kind of biblical horse droppings, and then even misquotes his own biblical horse droppings. I feel sorry for the kid, but I think his parents ought to have their mouths washed out with soap. I mean, to do that to a kid 15, and you know it probably started when he was around 6. You're going to burn in hell, boy. You better believe this way. So, you know, by the time the kid is 15, a 15-year-old boy ought to be thinking about 15-year-old girls, shouldn't he? Or other 15-year-old boys. I mean, you know, something that is normal. Not sitting down and writing about, it's an abomination for gay folk to adopt a child who needs parents. And to misquote his own Messiah, shame on you. Shame on you, kid. You've got a rough life ahead of you, let me tell you. And it doesn't stop there. Ellen DeGeneres and JCPenney now are under attack from another one of these Christian right-wing cesspools. It's called 1 Million Moms. They probably have about 4 people who run it. 1 Million Moms is a branch of the American Family Association. Ellen DeGeneres has a new business venture with JCPenney. And the organization is very, very upset that JCPenney hired Ellen because she's openly gay. Really? No kidding. I'm openly heterosexual. Oh, that's right. Heterosexuality is the norm? Oh, okay. I see. 1 Million Moms wrote about their disconsent, according to MSNBC, on their website. This is what they wrote, quote, funny that JCPenney thinks hiring an open homosexual spokesperson will help their business when most of their customers are, you know, traditional families, like the one that produces 15-year-old Pathwit, who wrote about Jesus condemned homosexuality, you know, or traditional families like Newt Gingrich's, huh? The statement, I'll add it all that. The statement went on to say, DeGeneres is not a true representation of the type of families that shop at their store. The majority of JCPenney shoppers will be offended and choose to no longer shop there. Want to bet? You sick sons of bitches. Is this all you have to do on a Friday afternoon is sit around and post this kind of bigoted, filthy, nasty crap on your website? Is this what your Jesus wants you to do? Is this what your Messiah? Do you get points? Do you get a little pat on the ass when you die and go to heaven for doing this? Do you? And this group, which, by the way, sells itself as, quote, the most powerful tool you have to stand against the immorality, violence, vulgarity, and profanity that media is throwing at your children. Ah! So they're asking people to join in on their protests and call in complaints to the company. Go ahead. I'm sure JCPenney will hire a nice telephone outsourcing room someplace near Mumbai, India, and we'll be happy to take your calls. Go ahead. Of course, I would imagine that 1 million moms and their heterosexual parent, the American Family Association, they will probably get more complaints than JCPenney will. What do you think, huh? What do you think? You bigoted pigs. This is the part that drives me crazy. You know, I would leave religion completely alone. I really would. I'd leave it completely alone and just say to myself, okay, people want to believe in sky spooks and stuff. Go ahead. It's not my business. Go ahead. But that's not what they do. They don't leave me alone. They don't leave people alone. They don't leave the society alone. They don't leave the government alone. They don't leave anything alone with their teachings of hatred and bigotry and lies and deception. They're the ones being aggressive. Oh, we're under attack. Religion's under attack. Oh, my God. We can't talk about Jesus in the public school. Woo. So that's the reason that you hear such vile crap coming out of my mouth. If you're still listening, you know, I don't know how a Catholic or a Christian could listen to this program. I really don't. I don't know how you could do it, because I'm talking about you. I'm talking about your religion. Yes. Now you may say, hey, Maloa, I'm a Christian, but I don't follow any of that stuff. You support a church that follows that stuff. So don't tell me that you don't support it. Yes, you do. If you're a Catholic, you are against women. If you are a Catholic, you are a bigot. If you are a Christian fundamentalist, you are a liar. You're a hater. So, you know, whine to somebody else. When you send me your emails, oh, and if you're a Zionist Jew and you hear me talking about the policies of Israel and you send me the hate mail, you know, screw you too. All of you people who take your religion and use it to beat the living hell out of somebody else, to hell with you and your religion. That's why you get this kind of reaction from me. Go practice your religion. Do what Jesus said. You know, the guy that most of you people say that he's your Messiah. He told you to shut up. And if you want to pray, go into your closet and be quiet about it. And he also said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there is my church. So why don't you take your Messiah at his word, what he said, what he told you to do? Love your enemy. Blessed are the meek. Stop acting like a bunch of damn jackasses. But you won't, because what you practice is not the teachings of Jesus. It has nothing to do with the teachings of Jesus. It has to do with the teachings of a bunch of these phony-ass, money-grubbing preachers and this horrendous organization called the Catholic Church that just drinks the blood of God knows how many people, how many societies the church has destroyed and polluted and made sick and brought disease to and murdered and burned at the stake and decapitated and tortured. Give me a break. You're going to tell me all that stuff is about Jesus? Are you kidding me? So, before you ask the question, there's your answer. Why do you always attack Christians? So now it's Ellen DeGeneres. Now they're going after her. The good Christians going after, you know, what does Ellen DeGeneres do? Does Ellen DeGeneres come out and say, hi, I'm gay. Hi, I'm gay. I want all the children to be gay. I want all the women to be gay. I want all the men to be gay. Hi, I'm gay. I'm gay. I'm gay. I'm gay. I'm gay. No. Last time I checked, watched your program. No, she doesn't. It's you jackasses that are always doing, oh, she's gay. She's gay. She's gay. And in Virginia, the legislators there have passed a bill allowing private adoption agencies to deny placements that conflict with their religious or moral beliefs, including opposition to homosexuality. The State House of Virginia voted 71-28 on Friday. Today, earlier today, a Senate committee endorsed its version of the Republican-backed measure by an 8-7 party line vote. And the Republican right-wing fascist Governor Bob McDonnell, the Christian, is expected to sign the bill. Supporters say the measure protects religious freedom. Oh, it's always about religious freedom, isn't it? Ellen DeGeneres is going to burn in hell. I say so, so that I have a religious freedom to say that. Gay people shouldn't adopt kids. I have a religious freedom to say that. All homosexuals are committing abominations according to Leviticus. You know, Jesus' favorite book. I have religious freedom to say that. I can say anything I want to. And if you come after me for saying it, well, you're attacking religion. You're a bigot. The Virginia Board of Social Services back in December adopted regulations allowing discrimination by private agencies based on factors including gender, age, religion, disability, sexual orientation, and family status. The bill would convert those regulations into state law. Oh, listen, you know, you good Christians, you keep it up, okay? You make sure that none of those homosexuals ever get married. None of those homosexuals ever have, enter into a business agreement with the JCPenney. None of those homosexuals ever adopt children. None of those homosexuals can ever do anything because, you know, Jesus was so adamant in his absolute disgusting contempt for homosexuals. Wasn't he? Oh, yes, he was. And you have Bible verses to prove it, don't you? You don't? Well then, are you putting words into your God's mouth? Because Jesus is your God. Are you really quoting something he never said and attributing it to him? Do you know what he's going to do to you? He's going to pinch off your head and throw it into hell so the demons can use it as a soccer ball. Sponsored by Jill Toe. Jill, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And no, there's no message. Just a nice sponsorship. Thanks, Jill. Where are we? Oh, yeah. The Obama administration's decision requiring church-affiliated employers to cover birth control, you know, if you offer health insurance and you're affiliated with a church, you have to also offer birth control. You don't have to provide abortion services, but you got to offer birth control. So the Roman Catholics and other members of other faiths are freaking out. This was at, I think this was at Huffington Post also. The regulation, which was finalized a week ago, raises a complex legal question. Which institutions qualify as religious and can be exempt from the mandate? Because, you know, if you are religious and you don't want birth control to be available to the women in your flock, and why is that? Where in the Bible, you religious crazies, does it prohibit birth control? It doesn't. So where are you coming up with this? Where are you coming up with this? Sister Carol Keehan, president of the Catholic Health Association, which represents some 600 hospitals, said, quote, "It's not about preventing women from buying anything themselves. It's telling the church what it has to buy and the potential for that to go further." Ooh, really? It's not telling the church what it has to buy. It's telling insurance companies, if you're going to define yourself as an insurance company, you have to provide X, Y, and Z. And one of the X, Ys, and Zs is a medicine that prohibits pregnancy. The U.S. Health and Human Services Department says it adopted the rule to improve health care for women last week, last year, an advisory panel from the Institute of Medicine, which advises the federal government, recommended including birth control on the list of covered services, partly because it promotes maternal and child health by allowing women to space their pregnancies. Ooh! Oh, no! We have to have more little boys for the Catholic priests to molest! The regulation includes a religious exemption if an organization qualifies. Now, under that provision, an employer generally will be considered religious if its main purpose is spreading religious beliefs, and if it largely employs and serves people of the same faith. That means a Catholic parish likely would qualify for a religious exemption, but a large church-run soup kitchen probably would not. But most religious people, fundamentalists, whether they're Christian, Jew, or Muslim, are also incipient fascists. You will believe, you will do what I say. If I say no birth control, no birth control. But why do you say that? Does it say it in your holy texts? Are you trying to be a smartass? Does it say it in your Bible? Did your Jesus? Did your Muhammad say it? Is it in the Torah? What? Where? Who? Why? How? This is about control of women. Because the three religions of the book are all about control of women. So much so that they will tell you that the first mother, the first person to give birth, was a man. Employers that fail to provide health insurance coverage under the federal law could be fined $2,000 per employer per year, or per employee per year. Catholic Charities says it employs 70,000 people nationwide. Multiply 70,000 times $2,000. Woo! That would be about a week of what the Catholic Church takes in from the terminally faithful. The fine for the University of Notre Dame, the most prominent Catholic school in the country, could be in the millions of dollars. Oh, you know, they bend over backwards to try to exempt, to allow exemptions for these poor, put-upon religious believers. Oh, religion is under attack. Oh, they want the health insurance policies to have birth control pills. Oh, no. Oh, Jesus, they're attacking us again. You know, Jesus is saying, what are you talking about? You people are crazy. You believe in me? You have something called Christianity? Drop it. Take my name off that. You people are nuts. Now, see, I can put words in the Messiah's mouth because I don't see him as a Messiah. is just unbelievable. Story after story. I didn't plan on talking about this tonight. I plan on talking about the Komen Planned Parenthood thing and about Iran getting ready to be bombed by Israel. Maybe not, because as I'll explain to you in a couple of minutes, Russia's in the way. Bit of a problem there. But then I see this, a 15-year-old kid in where was it, Kathy, Wisconsin, Minnesota, someplace in the upper Midwest, 15-year-old kid writes an editorial for his school paper that is full of garbage, just garbage, and it violates the school policy of bullying. So the school pulls it, and then he gets a lawyer from a right-wing religious group, says, oh, no, you're interfering with his freedom of speech. Really? And then they go after JCPenney and Ellen DeGeneres. And then they go after insurance companies. All in the name of this putrid idea that their God or their Messiah or their angels or their something is going to be all pissed off and deny them entry into heaven. I get so sick of this. Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. At the bottom of this hour, we're going to do podcast trivia, give away a one-year subscription to Malloy Show podcast, delivery on your email box every morning, commercial free. That'll be at the bottom of the hour. We'll open up the phone lines then. Now, this hour is being sponsored by... What's not on here, Kathy? The message is here. The Mike Malloy Show is where we meet to help change the world. Well, that's a nice message. Maybe we can find out who sent this to us. Or maybe it was anonymous. I don't know. But it says, the Mike Malloy Show is where we meet to help change the world. Okay. Thanks, whoever sent that. From Prairie 2, Our Turn to Sweat, Cry, and Bleed is the header, and this is what Bruce writes. 250,000 new jobs were created in January, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics Household Survey. This exceeds the 250,000 job gains shown by the employer survey. Oh, it exceeds the 250,000 job gain shown by the employer survey. Historically, these two surveys confirm one another, except when unusual growth is seen. The household survey had been diverging from the employer survey by larger and larger numbers over the past year. This divergence probably indicates exceptional growth in small business activity and among new entrepreneurs not adequately represented in the employer survey. This could be tied to the sharp growth in manufacturing jobs with 50,000 new workers added last month, as reported by employers. Manufacturing is what is known as a cluster economy. The finished product job tends to support numerous other jobs that are somewhat off the grid. These can be everything from the small machine shop that does tool and die work or a specialized factory with a few employees that make small parts that don't justify a major factory operation, and all manner of service and support jobs. It can't be stressed enough how important this kind of uptick in jobs in midwinter really is. An economy has momentum, like a ship rising to meet the crashing waves or the wreck being driven to the bottom by those waves. Currently, the ship of the economy is rising, despite all efforts from the Republicans to drill holes in the hull. Red State Republicans eliminated 14,000 teacher, firefighter, police, and highway maintenance workers just last month, crippling the recovery of their own states and putting a drag on the national economy. That's the good news, the uptick in jobs. The bad news is that real wages were down 2% last year as major corporations deliberately assaulted the wages of employees to tighten their grip on the economy and society in general. The 6 million long-term unemployed have no chance of ever being employed by any major corporation, as the universal corporate policy is to never hire them. The excuse is that their skills are stale, but really it is to make them an example for all who might resist. A large-scale recovery would throw this policy out the window, of course. Obama made a point of chiding Republicans not to get in the way of the recovery, saying, "Don't muck it up." According to the right wing, Obama can read the teleprompter, but he seems to confuse his M's and his F's. That's not to say we don't have huge problems with insane trade policies, the lack of enforcement of antitrust laws, and a long laundry list of laws and policies that have been gutted, ignored, or decriminalized over the past 30-plus years. It speaks, though, to the potential of America, that it has taken the 0.1% this long to steal and corrupt enough of the economy to reverse the New Deal, and still they haven't quite done it. We can have it back again. All those things our liberal grandparents gave sweat, tears, and blood to accomplish can be ours again. All the things our liberal ancestors fought and died for in order to wrest this continent from the British East India Company can be ours again. It's our turn to sweat, cry, and bleed to have these things again, or they will be gone forever. Prairie 2. You can read him at prairienumeral2.com or tvnewslies.org under the editorial section. Oh, here it is. This hour is being sponsored. I knew this. Just had to punk him a little bit. This hour is being sponsored by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. The message written by Hugo Alvarda. The message is, "The Mike Malloy Show is where we meet to help change the world." Thanks, chat room. And Skype and everything. You guys are so easy. I just, you know, just... Thanks. Thanks, guys. If you don't know what I'm talking about here, go to... How do they get into the chat room, Kathy? Huh? I don't know how either. Don't we have a link?
I think so.
Do we have a link in our page? I don't even know. I know they set up their own chat room. We don't have anything to do with this. This is an anarchy chat room. It's not ours. It's theirs. It's the people who run it. And I just drop in every once in a while to see what kind of stuff is going on. You know, you got to watch these chat room people. I guess if you go to our homepage, there's a link there. Yeah, that's it. Okay. All right, here's where you can go. tinyurl.com/Mike Malloy Show. So if you want to join these people, and they're a radical bunch, I don't know if you can handle it, but if you do, that's where you go. tinyurl.com/Mike Malloy Show. Now, you just heard what Prairie 2 had to say. Here's kind of the same take from John in Fargo, North Dakota. Happy TGIF, Mike. Well, January 2012 figures out, and better and unusually good for January's in general, according to Labor Department stats. Now 243,000 plus jobs added and unemployment rate at 8.3%. I bet it wasn't 2 seconds on C-SPAN when the Bureau of Labor gave finding to Congress committee and the negative comments right away from the usual suspects, as always. I guess the way it best explains, as if we are all Americans, the same team, put it in context of a football game, okay? Quarterback, Bush regime, drops the ball for Team U.S. way down on the opponent's goal line, gets hurt and is out. Then in for Team U.S., quarterback Obama has to come now. He gets a few yards, but those on the Bush bench, each yardage gain, they either boo, make excuses, and win, make big gains, now over midfield and nearing the finish line, and you don't hear a cheer for your own team. Instead, well, the yards gained weren't good enough, not enough yards, or the way he ran, and we still had the rest of the team not playing right, and on and on and on. This is why it shows they're only in it for themselves, not for the fans, not for the water boy, not for the hometown, not for their fellow Americans. So any progress gained, minute or major, not one of their sorry asses can humanly be possible to acknowledge or say, good job, Mr. President, and your team. 23 months of private sector growth, lowest unemployment rate in 3 years, stock market highest in 4 years, lowest tax rates, no increases, stock market up from 7,000 under Bush, now over 12,000. Wall Street should love Obama, by the way. What reality do these illusionists live in? Right-wing, nut job, hater-traitor word. Thanks, Mike. Keep up the good fight. John in Fargo. P.S. Just pure traitors. Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's like Prairie 2 did the prose treatment, and John in North Dakota did the poetry. We'll be right back.
Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Have I mentioned this hour is being sponsored by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms and the message written by Hugo Alvarda? The message is, the Mike Malloy Show is where we meet to help change the world. See what I mean? They're a very radical bunch. You ought to join them. Next break, we will be doing podcast trivia. The phones are open if you want to get online now. 877-996-2556. Quick comment here from Jamie in Baltimore about the religious organizations. Jamie writes, Mike, religious organizations such as Catholic Charities get millions of dollars in taxpayer money. If they want that money, they need to play by the rules that everyone else has to follow, including coverage of birth control via their health insurance provider. End of story. If they want to forego this money, that might be another issue to debate another day. But as it stands, I agree with the contraception requirement and similar policies wholeheartedly. The level of vitriol in the world toward women, children, and people of color is beyond comprehension. And yes, religious institutions are often the worst offenders. Jamie, Baltimore. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Well, you know, those women are evil. All right. U.S. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta has said that the odds are better than 50-50 that Israel will attack Iran in the next couple of months. This follows Israeli reports that Iran has the capability to develop 4 nuclear bombs and reach the U.S. with a missile strike. Really? Ah. Mr. Panetta sees what he calls a strong possibility of an Israeli strike on Iran in either April, May, or June, according to yesterday's Washington Post. The attack would occur before Iran enters a so-called immunity zone, when its nuclear facilities will be too heavily fortified for an attack to succeed. Now, this is a story that the Washington Post, David Ignatius, broke the story. David Ignatius believes the overriding fear in Israel is that Iran has come close enough to making a nuke that only the U.S. will be capable of militarily stopping them. David Ignatius was once called mainstream media's chief apologist for CIA crimes by Melvin Goodman of Johns Hopkins over Ignatius' support for U.S. intelligence in wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Yeah, let's keep in mind that so many people who work in media are there as shills for capitalist America and their warmongering. That's just the way it is. Iran's supreme leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei told worshippers today that, quote, threatening and attacking Iran would only harm the United States. Israeli Defense Minister Ehud Barak also announced late yesterday that, quote, a nuclear Iran will be more complicated to deal with, more dangerous and more costly in blood than if it is stopped today. He added, whoever says later might find out that it will be too late. Well, okay. Now, as Prairie 2 writes, the last time Israel tried to attack Iran, they set up air bases in the country of Georgia with pre-positioned war supplies in order to carry out a prolonged campaign against Iran, which is just a hop, skip, and jump away by F-15 from the country of Georgia. The Russians rolled in, remember that, with tanks and destroyed these ambitions and forced a regiment of U.S. troops to flee in the night. They didn't want to be caught there. The U.S. paratroopers were, quote, just visiting for some training on their way home from Afghanistan, right? The Russians paraded the captured American equipment as war trophies. Currently, the Russians have a base in Syria, which would get in the way of the direct route to Iran from Israel. This might explain why another longtime dictator, I mean ally, is being deposed. How the Russians handle the situation will determine whether an attack against Iran ever happens. The longtime dictator, would that be Assad, the Syrian leader? I think it would. So the game goes on, doesn't it? And Israel is hell-bent on dragging the United States into what could turn out to be a horrendous, horrendous, cataclysmic event in the Middle East. And the United States could stop this, except for the fact that our legislative branch is pretty much owned outright by AIPAC. We'll be right back. Yes, indeed. Time once again for podcast trivia here on the Malloy program. where you, yes, you, can win a one-year subscription to Maloko podcast downloads, commercial-free, in your email box every morning to spread sunshine and joy throughout your day. Use them as an exercise recording. Use it as something better than a cup of coffee to get your heartbeat racing and your blood pressure up. Oh, never mind. All right, all you have to do here is get the correct answer to our trivia question, podcast trivia, multiple choice question, and the subscription is urine. Let's start with Jim in Red Bluff, California. Hey, Jim.
Hello, Mike.
How are you tonight?
I'm excellent. I'm so happy to have the opportunity to bring sunshine into my day. So
yeah, right.
I
on.
Want to do this.
Hey, listen, where's Red Bluff, California?
I'm in Northern California, halfway between Sacramento and the California-Oregon border.
Oh, wow. Beautiful country
working
there.
Working in this, you know, beautiful country, wide open range.
Yeah.
It's amazing ranch country, and I'm in the solar energy development business.
Wow, wow. Well, good on you for that one, pal. All right, Jim, you ready to play?
Yes, please.
All right, here we go. The driving force behind the attempt to cause a nasty divorce between the Komen Foundation and Planned Parenthood was which of the following Republican women? Was it A, former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, B, Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachman, C, Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, D, former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, or E, former candidate for Governor of Georgia Karen Handel?
E, former candidate for Governor.
You got it, Karen Handel. Absolutely right. I just threw in former House Speaker Newt Gingrich to make it difficult.
Yeah, I appreciate the challenge.
Right.
You know, it keeps me sharp.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and another thing, look for Karen Handel. I have it on good authority that because she's from here, look for Karen Handel to quietly resign within the next couple of weeks, regardless of what happens at this point between the Komen Foundation and Planned Parenthood, and there may be more bumps in the road ahead. But regardless, Karen Handel caused the kind of public relations disaster that most nonprofits will do anything to avoid, to set people against each other, to cause women to have to take a side on an issue like breast cancer cure. I mean, Karen Handel. But
women's health and their right to
oh
their
my
own
God.
Privacy.
It's you know,
spectacular that they thought they could, you know, do
right.
Silly like
but
that.
But to cause this kind of public relations nuclear reaction across the country, Karen Handel will get her walking papers very soon. So anyway, you wanted to make a comment too, right?
Yes, please. And, you know, I've been hearing so much about, you know, it's not what it was when you and I were kids. There's not that sense of patriotism, and we've lost the American dream, and the unions are getting beat up, and all of that stuff. I mean, you know, everybody on this program knows what that's about. But so my response is to, you know, be prosperous and smart about our future. And so I think the patriotic way to restore the American dream of living in a prosperous society, that's what we were taught when we were kids. So let's go rebuild the post office. And the way to do that, let's get all of their vehicles off of fossil fuel, make them electric, charge them with solar, get crews working at night and switch out the day's batteries, and the long-term effect of that is the savings in the cost of fossil fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Watch for $5 a gallon 4th of July. But mm-hmm. The long-term savings in fossil fuel will offset all of the cheating that they've already done to those union workers on making them prepay the pension so radically that it's breaking the... That's what they're doing to break the post office union, is they cheated on their pension payment benefits. And, you know, if we change the post office off of fossil fuel, it gives us some time to develop a mandatory voter constitutional amendment.
You know, that's such a good idea, such a good start. Why aren't the movers and shakers and the big thinkers who actually have control over what the post office does, why don't they come up with something like that?
Well, you know, President Obama said in the State of the Union the other night that he was going to use the power of the government's purchasing to force a change using the military, who's the largest fossil fuel consumer on the planet.
Right.
So, you know, the largest consumer in our, you know, our civilian society has to be the post office. And what, you know, the American post office is the standard of the world. It started back, you know, Benjamin Franklin was the first postmaster. And what a great thing to, you know, restore our manufacturing and machining and stuff. Just doing the work, the labor that it would take. Guess what? We got lots of wounded troops that could have some real pride of doing something constructive and have a job. And, you know, it just makes sense. So to answer your question about why aren't the movers and shakers figuring it out, they are. It's you and I and everybody else listening to this that's going to think about this, talk about it, and we're going to push this forward.
Well, that's
we are the movers and shakers, Mike. I'm optimistic, and you know what? I share your angst, man.
Well, it's a great idea. Jim, thank you so much. I appreciate you calling. I appreciate the idea, too. Thanks a lot, pal.
You're welcome.
All right. Now, hold on. Don't go.
I will.
Don't go away. Let me put you back on hold. Kathy will get the pertinent information. That is such a good idea, isn't it? Reducing the U.S. military also is another good idea, as Jim points out, and I'm sure most of you know, the biggest consumer of, as he said, of fossil fuel, oil, diesel fuel, oil products, gasoline, is the U.S. military. It's also one of the great, the largest, I was going to say greatest, one of the largest polluters on Earth. By the way, this hour is being sponsored by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. This message written by Hugo Alvarda. Here it is. The Mike Malloy Show is where we meet to help change the world. You're right, Hugo. Alma writes in, Mike, I'm just curious, but where are the moderate, non-extremist Christians to call out these hypocrites who abuse the true message of their faith? Alma, I don't know. I don't know. I wish they would present themselves. Got an email from Jeanette regarding my ranting about Christians and fundamentalist Christians and Jews. She writes, then you have Muslims who make women cover themselves from head to toe, stone people to death, cut off their hands, use kids as suicide bombers. But it's not okay for liberals to criticize Islam, only Christianity and Israeli Jews. And I wrote back, I know you're not referring to this liberal, right? And then Jeanette wrote back, just generally, I get frustrated with liberals being perfectly willing to criticize Christianity, in my opinion, Christians deserve it, and occasionally Israelis. That criticism is far more political than religion, and in my opinion, is not anti-Semitism, but ripping people who criticize Muslims. In my opinion, they should be all be criticized. Well, that's true, but on a religious basis. But in this country, Muslims are not attacked so much for their faith, but because they are Muslims. Now, I know that sounds like a contradiction, but Muslims are the new Jim Crow, the new Negro, the new Italian just off the boat that was referred to as a WOP. You know, it's just the latest in a series of people who have been objectified and demonized, the new gay people, the new just pick any minority that has had its ass kicked up around its shoulders by the majority dominant Caucasian Christian organizations in this country. So, of course, you know, I try my best to expose the craziness of Muslims around the planet, but they're not here. Christians and Jews are here. The Christians are ripping this country to pieces. The fundamentalist Jews are trying to get us into another war on behalf of Israel. And I don't mean the Jews in this country necessarily. I'm talking about the Israeli Jews. There's an awful lot of support in this country by American Jews. But if Muslims were trying to, in this country, were trying to get us into a war with, say, Saudi Arabia, that would be a little bit different. Do you understand what I'm saying? Of course, every time I mention people of the book, who do you think I'm referring to? All three of these religions, all three of these monotheistic religions that have their origins in the same place. You know, the first mama was Adam. So, I hope that's clear. What's this? Mike, in my opinion, for you being an atheist, you're more Christian than the Christians. May everyone in the Malloy household have a nice weekend. Signed, Weary. I'm not sure what that means. Oh, well. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
America, one flying monkey at a time. Here's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. And once again, this hour has been sponsored by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. And their message has been written by Hugo Albarda. The message is, the Mike Malloy Show is where we meet to help change the world. Who gets the cookies on this one, Kathy? You have any idea? They draw straws. Anyway, thanks to the Malloy chat room, and you can get there by going to my website, MikeMalloy.com, and there should be a link there, I think. I have no idea. I really don't. But thanks to the crew. If you haven't been in that chat room, you haven't lived. There's one other thing here for this hour, and I see folks on hold. We will come to your calls here. I typed across the top of this one why I call them bastards. And here's another example from Colorado. Republican Rick Santorum had a heated exchange with a mother and her sick young son Wednesday, arguing that drug companies, Santorum was arguing that drug companies were entitled to charge whatever the market demanded for life-saving therapies. I think this was at Think Progress. Santorum, who he himself is a father of a child with a rare genetic disorder, Santorum compared buying drugs to buying an iPad. And he said demand would determine the cost of medical therapies. Can you believe that? This is why I call them bastards. Santorum said, quote, people have no problem paying $900 for an iPad. $900? Where in the hell does he buy them? We didn't pay that. God. Anyway, he went on to say, but paying $900 for a drug they have a problem with, it keeps you alive. Why? Because you've been conditioned to think healthcare is something you can get without having to pay for it. This is why I call them bastards. This is why I call them bastards. I'll tell you what, Rick Santorum, I pay for your goddamn health insurance. I want my money back. Get off my health insurance policy. I pay your health insurance. You were a member of Congress. You get it now for the rest of your life, and I have to pay for it. The mother said the boy was on the drug Abilify, used to treat schizophrenia. and that on paper its costs would exceed $1 million a year. Seems a little high. Santorum said drugs take years to develop and cost millions of dollars to produce, and manufacturers need to turn a profit. Santorum said, quote, you have that drug and maybe you're alive today because people have a profit motive to make that drug. There are many people sick today who 10 years from now are going to be alive because of some drug invented in the next 10 years. If we say, you drug companies are greedy and bad, you can't make a return on your money, then we will freeze innovation. Santorum, you half-witted bastard, nobody is saying that. Nobody is saying that. What we're talking about is single-payer health care. Why in this country is it not available? That's not free drugs, you jerk! Santorum told a large Tea Party crowd in Woodland Park, Colorado, that he sympathized with the boy's case. Aww, but he also believed in the marketplace. Of course you do, you swine. Of course you do. That's all you believe in. That and your phony religious crap. I believe in the marketplace, not this little boy here. To hell with this little boy. Jesus said, suffer the marketplace to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. It's in the Bible. He said that. Oh, man. He said about the boy, he's alive today because drug companies provide care. And if they didn't think they could make money providing that drug wouldn't be here. I sympathize with these compassionate cases. I want your son to stay alive on much-needed drugs. Fact is, we need companies to have incentives to make drugs, though. If they don't have incentives, they won't make those drugs. We either believe in markets or we don't. That's right. That's right, Rick. That's right, you filthy, rotten, capitalist hypocrite. Suffer the drug companies to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the drug companies, for they shall inherit the earth. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I mean, I really do. M.J. Rosenberg is the Senior Foreign Policy Fellow for the Media Matters Action Network. And writing, I think today, he said he set off a firestorm with his term, his use of the term Israel Firster. He was referring to people in this country, American Jews primarily, but also American Christian fundamentalists, American legislators who will put Israel first over the United States. And M.J. Rosenberg, that's not exactly an Irish name. You know what I'm saying there, truth seeker? M.J. says other people use it too, Israel Firster. But I was the guy who popularized it recently and who used it hundreds of times. The others who utilize that term do so occasionally, often citing me. So I am the main miscreant on this score, and I'm proud that I created the controversy because it is an important one. It is an important one because the underlying issue is not whether the term is polite, it isn't merely accurate, but whether or not America is going to end up at war with Iran. Now, more on this when we come back, because I want you to hear what M.J. Rosenberg, who is the Senior Foreign Policy Fellow for Media Matters Action Network, had to say about the term Israel First. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. back. 7 past the hour. Before I get to MJ Rosenberg's piece, email from Michael and Roswell regarding Rick Santorum and his little claim about free market and thank goodness, and you're not entitled to any kind of medicine unless you can afford what the free market charges for that medicine, because, you know, the pharmaceutical companies have to make a profit. And Michael answers that using Rick's nickname. He says, Santorum is also evading one important little fact. Frothy assiduously avoids one simple truth in that equation. The government itself does the research and the development of 80% of the drugs on the market. The remaining 20% is mostly from the drug industry trying to create molecularly close but not identical copycats of already proven effective drugs to take advantage of the patent system. The government stupidly trades exclusive rights to the drugs it develops in exchange for the drug companies doing the field trials required by the FDA. Oh yeah, the free market at work. Bad enough being a bad liar and a jerk, but being a stupid one, too, is Frothy's métier. Cheers, Mike, Michael, and Roswell. Frothy. Does that come from the Google search on his name? I think it does, doesn't it? Bleh! MJ Rosenberg got a lot of hell for using the term Israel first regarding some policymakers in this country. And he writes, first, Andrew Sullivan's short definition of an Israel firster. In a piece called A Plainly True Idea, Sullivan says, when an American sides with a foreign government against his own president in a foreign country, what does one call that? Apart, that is, from disgusting. End quote. There is no need here, MJ writes, to describe who the Israel firsters are. They are these people of whatever ethnic backgrounds who invariably support Israel's policies over those of the United States. The Israel firsters are represented in Washington by AIPAC, which is Israel's lobby in the United States. It is perhaps the most powerful lobby in Washington and invariably gets what it wants. This past May, it even got the United States to veto a UN resolution on illegal Israeli settlements that reaffirmed the decades-long official U.S. position on settlements. Now, take a look at this website's obsession with Iran, and then he has a link there. It is important to note that AIPAC represents only its 100,000 members and not 6 million American Jews. Newsweek and the Daily Beast reported last week, basing its findings on an American Jewish Committee poll, and then he cites the poll. And I don't have it in front of me. Come on, Mike. Damn. But the question still arises, MJ Rosenberg writes, why is the issue of the term Israel first significant? For one reason, it is the same reason that the people I call Israel firsters are hysterical over it. The reason is simple. Right now, there is only one interest group in the United States that absolutely opposes any diplomacy to avoid war with Iran, and which insists that the United States expressly state, as it has, that war with Iran is definitely, quote, on the table, end quote. In fact, that interest group, AIPAC, actually got Congress to pass a bill, which President Obama signed, that bans any diplomacy with Iran without express approval of four congressional committees in advance, as if AIPAC will ever let that happen. Just read this AIPAC-drafted language that is now law. Restriction on contact. No person employed with the United States government may contact, in an official or unofficial capacity, any person that, one, is an agent, instrumentality, or official of, is affiliated with, or is serving as a representative of the government of Iran, and, two, presents a threat to the United States or is affiliated with terrorist organizations. Then there's a waiver. The president may waive the requirements of subsection C if the president determines and so reports to the appropriate congressional committees 15 days prior to the exercise of waiver authority. That failure to exercise such waiver authority would pose an unusual and extraordinary threat to the vital national security interests of the United States. End quote, end quote, end quote. MJ Rosenberg writes, frankly, this makes me sick. Banning diplomacy almost guarantees war with Iran. A war that must not be fought. I opposed war with Iran unless Iran attacks the United States directly. Period. I do not want America to be dragged into a war that Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, provokes, and which the United States would then be dragged into. I favor diplomacy, unconditional diplomacy, with all issues on the table. I oppose war because we lost 4,400 men and women in Iraq, a war built on lies and false premises, conveyed by many of the self-same people promoting war with Iran. I don't think we should lose even one soldier in a war against a country that does not directly threaten the American people. A digression. A few months ago, on a beautiful Sunday, I was walking on the grounds of the Walter Reed Army Hospital here in Washington. There were dozens of young guys being pushed around in wheelchairs by parents, wives, girlfriends, buddies, etc. They looked like injured members of the high school football team, except that so many were missing limbs. I approached an officer and said that these boys seemed cheerful considering their situations. He said, quote, "These soldiers are the lucky ones. They lost limbs and worse, often testicles from IEDs, but not their minds. In that building over there are the brain injured. Their parents visit too, but you won't see them out on the grounds like these soldiers." End quote. And I oppose war because it would almost surely lead to missile attacks on Israel and to wider regional war that could ultimately lead to Israel's destruction. My wife was born in a displaced person camp in Germany. Her parents survived the Holocaust. It repulses us to think that Netanyahu risked the state just to maintain regional dominance. As for an Iranian nuclear weapon, we should use diplomacy to prevent its development. But if Iran gets the bomb, we are fully capable of containing a nuclear Iran the same way we contained the Soviet Union, which for 50 years had a massive nuclear arsenal pointed our way and whose leader constantly said, "We will bury you." I believe that pointing out who is pushing for war makes it a little less likely war will occur. If the neocons succeed in banning the term that is their unachievable goal, they might be tempted to believe that if war starts, no one will know that we were led there by commentary, the Jewish paper, Benjamin Netanyahu, John Bolton, Jeff Goldberg, the Washington Post editorial page, and most of all, AIPAC. I often write about the memo Steve Rosen, AIPAC's then director of research, wrote me on my first day at work in that institution. I broke with AIPAC after Oslo when they worked to undermine President Clinton and Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin's peace efforts. Rosen wrote to me, "MJ, always remember, a lobby is a night flower. It thrives in the dark and shrivels in the sun." The term Israel, end quote, the term Israel firster is my flashlight. MJ Rosenberg. Note, 1 P.S., This year, AIPAC's huge Washington conference will be almost exclusively dedicated to pushing war with Iran. It takes place the first week in March. Man, if it's not the Christians, it's the Likudnik Jews. MJ Rosenberg, writing for Media Matters. Whether or not the United States, and for that matter, Israel, gets involved in a hot war with Iran, I should say if that occurs, it will determine probably for decades, if not permanently, not just a refiguration of the Middle East, but a war that will go on without end. It's not written by the vanquished or the damned. Now we're against God, appreciable to some sound. In 1961, they took this child into their home. I wonder what became of them and the culture that was Lebanon. If I could find them,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
21 before the hour, or past the hour, or something, pick one. Danny Schechter, with reader-supported news, is in Iran and is reporting from there. You can read his stuff at readersupportednews.org. But as he points out, fairness and accuracy in media, and we covered this the other night, I think last night or the night before, they singled out a recent ABC newscast. Remember, we talked about this as an egregious example of propaganda. Diane Sawyer, the anchor, said at the top of the program, quote, America's top spy warns that Iran is willing to launch a terrorist strike inside the U.S. We'll tell you his evidence, end quote. And there was no evidence. But what Diane Sawyer did, what ABC News did, was pass along these incendiary allegations from U.S. government officials working with AIPAC and the Netanyahu government without the scrutiny that is supposed to be journalism's primary function. And acting as a propaganda voice for the U.S. government, Sawyer set up the report with the assertion that Iran is, quote, more determined than ever to launch an attack on U.S. soil. I mean, that's what was said by an anchor on a major U.S. news network. And then Martha Raddatz, the ABC war, the Pentagon reporter, whatever she is, she claimed that the, quote, saber rattling coming from Iran has been constant, end quote. And she said that the director of national intelligence, James Clapper, delivered what Martha Raddatz called, quote, a new bracing warning. Iran may be more ready than ever to launch terror attacks inside the United States, end quote. I'm telling you, and I'm sure you've already come to this conclusion if you're paying at least a bit of attention. The United States, the people were being asked, we're being prepared. The propaganda machine is in full play for an attack of some sort on Iran. A coordinated effort between the United States and Israel. Now, we have been killing their people and bombing their facilities and painting the target, so to speak. We've had operatives on the ground, we and the Israelis, for, I don't know, a couple of years now. But we also developed the Stuxnet, or the Israelis did, the Stuxnet internet virus that destroyed part of the equipment necessary for the Iranians to continue with the development of their nuclear power for whatever they're going to use it for. The IAEA continues to say that they are not developing nuclear power to produce nuclear bombs. But I think we could probably agree that that would be, and we're just guessing here, you and I, that that could probably be one of their objectives. But for the United States and Israel to tell Iran, after what we've done in that country for the past 58 years, we have done nothing but harass that company, a country. We've overthrown their governments. We've tried to steal their resources. We did successfully for 20 or 30 years. I mean, it's just unbelievable what has happened, what the United States, this fixation with Persia, with Iran. And some of the most sympathetic responses to what happened in this country on September 11, 2001 came from the Iranian public. Now, their attitude toward the Zionists and the Israelis' attitude toward Iran, it may be hate-filled on both sides. But how do you handle that? With these threats? And how do two nuclear powers tell a third country, no, no, you're not going to be one? Why not? Because we say you're not. But we're a sovereign nation. We make our own decisions. No, you don't. As a matter of fact, what we're going to do now is destabilize your currency. We're going to freeze your assets. We're going to deny you credit on the global markets. We're going to do everything to twist you, to disfigure you. And if you even squawk, we'll even turn up the pressure more. Stop your nuclear development. But we're not going to. Then we'll continue to do to you what we're doing. I mean, is that a rational action? Look, George W. Bush laid down the rules. And the rules are you can invade any country you want to, anytime you want to. Dear God, is Obama going to go along with this? Bob's been holding on here for an hour. Hello, Bob.
Hey, hello, Mike.
I'm sorry for the long delay there. I bet your ear is all sweaty.
Well, I was on hold for a podcast trivia back an hour ago.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, and actually, that was one of the more difficult podcast trivias that I've heard in a while. You actually had to pay attention to the news. The other ones in the past, you could
pretty much guess them, right?
Yeah, you could kind of guess them. Yeah, right. But I was hoping that I would get on air, but hey, I am now. So
there you go.
Hey, a couple comments about music. I'll start off with that. First of all, I've been enjoying the Santana music bumper music that you've had on air here.
I love it. One of the greatest bands in the history of rock, jazz, fusion.
Absolutely, and it's been the early stuff like Evil Ways and mm-hmm. Abraxas. And,
right. That was a great album. Oh, my God. Abraxas, that is what, 70, 69, 70?
No, that was 1970.
1970, yeah. Oh, God, I love that. That was
I love
such
that
a
album.
Good album, yeah.
You might want to leave open, I think it's coming up June 13th. 2012, that's a Wednesday night, Roger Waters is performing The Wall at the Phillips Arena in Atlanta there.
Oh, really? Well, we've seen him do that. We saw his touring, what was it, Kathy, about 3 or 4 years ago we went to see it. The one we're looking for is, looking forward to, come on, get it right, Mike, a whole bunch of old guys, they're probably in their 60s, late 60s, are coming to the Fox Theater. Moody Blues are coming to Atlanta.
Oh, you know, that brings up a point I wanted to mention to you that I really enjoy the story in your eyes, which is the start of your third hour.
Right, right.
I'm a podcast subscriber.
Yeah.
I'm not so crazy about the song at the start of the second hour, Sitting at the Wheel.
Yeah, you don't like that one too much?
No, I don't. I'm sorry to say that maybe there could be...
Yeah, well, we'll change it. We'll be happy to change it for you, Bob.
Well, I mean, I don't expect you to change just because I'm a podcast subscriber or whatever, but...
Hey, we aim to please, pal. I mean, you
yeah.
know, you were holding on for
I'm just putting my
two hour.
Cents on that one.
All right, I appreciate it.
And the other thing is, I love your bumper music. I mean, you play some Rush and Marillion.
Yep.
I mean, no other shows. Marillion. Oh, my God.
Well, we have to thank our producer here, Kathy, who selects this stuff. Occasionally, we will have a chat pre-show about what we're going to play for the people listening online. And that music usually plays, you know, during the commercial breaks that are run by the various stations that carry our program. People listening online will hear a steady stream. They'll hear a couple of commercials, but then they'll hear a steady stream of music during those breaks until we come back. And, for the most part, Kathy will select. Although the other night I had this, I don't know if you're familiar with this, singer Rumor. She is British and Afghan. I heard a little cut of her music last Sunday on Sunday Morning, the CBS magazine that's on every Sunday morning.
Oh yeah, that's a Good Morning or CBS.
Yeah, morning. Yeah, CBS. Yeah. It's Sunday Morning. It comes on 9 o'clock Eastern, and this young woman, she's in her 20s, she's British, and Afghan. Her father was Afghan. Her mother is British, and. She has this new CD out that's just called Rumor, R-U-M-E-R. So I heard a little excerpt, and I thought, man, that is really... I mean, the woman has a voice like rainwater. It's just so pure. So we went and got the CD and played it. I think we played it Tuesday, and a lot of people said, who is this? Somebody wrote in and said, it sounds like Karen Carpenter. But not really. I mean, Karen Carpenter had kind of an edge to her voice. This was so... if you get a chance, R-U-M-E-R, that's her name, Rumor, you ought to get it. Now,
I'm going to...
What did you call in about?
what did I call in about?
It sounds like a record program.
Yeah, you know, that's right. Well, I want to start out with something a little more, lighthearted, let's say, okay? Right. But actually, yeah, when I talked to Kathy earlier, I had a comment about the election and Obama, and, you know, I understand what you mean about Obama just, unfulfilling the promise, let's say, in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at just at the comparison from what we had 8 years before that and what we have now. And if you look at most of the indicators, the economic indicators, everything was going south. The housing.
Right.
The employment, and now you look at the charts, the graphs, and you know, they're not going up, but slightly, but they're flatlining, okay?
Some of that definitely is true, and one of the biggest advocates of that is our economic affairs correspondent, Bruce Enberger, Prairie 2. He writes from that point of view that things could be a hell of a lot worse, and Obama is doing X, Y, and Z, and he's fighting against this tidal wave of Republican resistance. I don't have an argument with that, but I do have an argument with certain domestic, not economic policy necessarily, although I believe Obama could do 110% better than what he's doing if he used the bully pulpit more. But my biggest problem with Obama are his domestic policies other than economic and his foreign policy. He is following the trail cut through the Geneva Conventions and international law that was blazed by Dick Cheney and George W. Bush. And I cannot support, as much as I would like to support a president that seems to be trying, I can't, for the simple reason that his policies are those of a warmonger. His policies are those of somebody who doesn't yet get it, that American empire has got to stop or the country is going to die. And, somebody who orders the assassination of people, someone who orders drone strikes. And I know the argument on the other side of that. Would you rather send in 100,000 troops, or would you rather take people out with drone strikes? I'd rather not do either. But there is something really gruesome to me about someone who orders the assassination and who has the power to do so and signed a law giving the executive the power to lock people up through the military without trial, without charge, without constitutional protection. Now, that negates, to me, just to me, a lot of liberals, a lot of progressives, a lot of Democrats say I'm just crazier than a loon. But that action, signing that NDAA the way Obama did, more or less negates anything to me that he's done that might be positive for this economy. Economy, ishmonomy. When you have a president that says, okay, let me sign this law that says American citizens can be detained indefinitely, have no recourse through the courts, no constitutional protections, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in supporting that person under any circumstances.
Point taken. Point well made. I think maybe those who support Obama, they like his cool and collective way about him.
I like it too. I like his cool.
Yeah, that personality style appeals to me.
Sure. Oh, no question. It's just a damn shame that that style is coupled with what to me are a couple of serious defects. His willingness to roll over, at least for the first 3 years, and let these Republican scum stomp him and kick him. A. B. His willingness to sign into law. This guy was a professor of constitutional law. When he signs something like the NDAA and then tries to modify it by including a signing statement, a presidential signing statement that has as much weight to it in the court as a cup of water. That to me is somebody who is, I don't know. I don't know what he's trying to do. Maybe somebody has threatened his wife and children. Maybe somebody has threatened him. I have no idea. But if I live in a country where the president has the right where the Congress enacts a bill like that, and then the president feels he has the right to sign it into law. No, I'm sorry. That's where it all goes out the window or down the toilet or into the gutter, however, whatever metaphor you want to use for me, for where it concerns Obama.
Yeah. I didn't have any illusion about this guy. I'm 51. You know, I'm not a young kid. I live in Milwaukee. Oh, by the way, right downwind from the Illinois
nuke
plant.
Oh, great. Jesus, God. Hey, listen, we're about ready to go to a break, Bob. Thank you very much for checking in. I'm sorry for having you on hold for so long. I hope you'll call in again. Next time, I won't leave you out there like that. All right, thanks, Bob. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Gasoline that starts a flying. ExxonMobil is barely getting by. With millions in profits, it's just another lie.
Before the hour, Rick in Hayward, California, has also been holding on for over an hour. Sorry, Rick.
Thanks, Mike. Sure. Actually, it's worth it. I like to hear the show. I can hear it on the phone while I'm waiting.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, before I wanted to comment on an election, but I heard the trivia quiz where the answer was Karen Handel, who, mm-hmm. you know, took the funds away from Planned Parenthood. She has scary hair. Yeah, I don't know. I saw her on TV today.
Oh, Karen Handel, they had her, not live. I mean, she's making herself invisible right now.
Well, she was, maybe it was from a couple days ago or something.
Well,
she had this real,
She ran for governor here in Georgia. We're real familiar with Karen Handel. She's not from here. She's from Maryland. But she was also, for about a year, Secretary of State, believe it or not, here in Georgia. She is so far to the right that she almost falls off the political spectrum. I mean, this woman is a self-hating woman. She'll do anything to further the agenda of the hard political right in this country. And she's the one behind what happened at Susan Komen. I have it on fairly good authority that within the next couple, 3 weeks, she will quietly resign.
Well, I don't normally, you know, comment about people's appearance, but she just had a kind of a creepy appearance.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the way her hair was and her face and... Like I said, I normally don't pick fun, but anyway, I was delivering pizzas in 2006 during the November election 5 years ago. And the Republicans were real depressed because, you know, the things weren't going too good for them. And it was, you know, the beginning of the evening, and here I get this call to deliver the pizzas to the Republican headquarters. Locally.
I would have loved to have delivered that pizza. I would have, you know, put a little extra flavoring on it probably. But anyway, that's a different story.
There's some jokes you can make there. I thought of them myself, but so I show up there with the pizzas.
Yeah.
And it was her dad. There was like seven people in the room in the office. And they put the black guy, there's one black guy. They put him in the front desk, who was the receptionist desk. Mm-hmm. So that was the first thing you saw, you know, just to make sure you knew they were diversified, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
And just the way everything went, it was just kind of real cold, and, you know, no one wanted to cough up the money, and they got the main boss guy was off, you know, isolated in his office, and he comes out. You know, everything is structured. You know, the Republicans like everything structured, military almost. And he comes out and pays for the pizza, and I left. But I just thought that, you know, putting a black dude out up front was just kind of, you know, just kind of like what they did with the guy that was the chairman, that buffoon that was chairing the Republicans for several years. I can't remember his name, but
I can't either. But yeah, the Republican Party that by its very nature despises people of color and women will use, especially women who have been had their brains sucked out and replaced by some kind of religious right wing hard political fantasy. And as far as people of color, whether no matter what race they are, if they're not Caucasian, they will also, the Republicans will use these people too. And it's kind of sad, but on the other hand, you know, you make your own hell, as well as making your own paradise. Hey, listen, Rick, I want to, thanks a lot for checking in. I want to try to get Alan in here. Alan, who's in Boston, Texas, been holding on forever too. Hi, Alan.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Hey, I just wanted to make a statement real fast, because I heard that guy earlier. Every time I hear people start up about the oil, I just want to blow steam up my ears.
Yeah, I hear you.
I got a system I'm trying to get to market right now. It's called Flex Power.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting everybody to understand, to take a different approach and a different concept. It's not so easy. You can go to my website and you can see the pickup truck prototype. Probably later half of this year, we're going to get started on building. That truck was going to hit 100 to 130 miles per gallon. Now, it's just what I've done is built a system that works for commercial vehicles that works at highway speed. So I didn't solve any of the problems that cities have.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get up to highway speed, it provides a power boost. So that enables engine reduction technology to be permanent. I'm going to be able to make an 18-wheel truck, 30 to 40 miles per gallon, went at highway speeds of 50 to 70 miles an hour.
Good Lord.
And, you know, it's getting somebody to believe that. I mean, I was just on my email and counting the number of people I've been assaulted by today. So it's just, let me give you my website, and you can take a look at that truck.
Okay, go ahead.
It's electricflexpowersystem.com.
Electric Flex, F-L-E-X?
Power.
System.com. All right, Alan, we're out of time here. Electricflexpowersystem.com. I'll tell you what, Alan, send me an email. Send it to mike@mikemalloy.com, and I'll take a look. mike@mikemalloy.com. Thanks, Alan. We got a boogie, man. And thanks for hanging out with us tonight, True Seekers. I'll see you Monday, all right? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Good night, Kathy.
Just like my mama said, I'm going straight.
My savings.